After waiting through the boarding line, you've got your carry-on stowed and your butt firmly planted in seat 27D. At this point, you're basically guaranteed to be on the flight, right? Well, not so fast. By now, we've all seen the video of a passenger being forcibly removed from a United Airlines overbooked flight from Chicago to Louisville, Kentucky. Apologies have been made and remade, but still, it's kind of difficult to unsee that video. Let's talk about the fallout from United's first class public relations nightmare. So let's go through what happened first. You guys must have checked out the video.
Yeah, let's talk about kind of what happened, what you're going to see in the video if you haven't seen it, and the situation that unfolded. The plane, due to depart from Chicago O'Hare International Airport to Louisville, Kentucky on April 9th, Sunday evening local time, saw overcapacity as four additional United Airline personnel needed to board the plane at the same time. The airline then sought volunteers to give up their seats and move to a later flight, offering compensation for doing so. I believe the compensation got pretty high, in fact. As no passengers responded, staff decided to randomly pick four passengers to leave the plane. The man at the center of this controversy and that you're hearing about said he was a doctor and was returning home to see his patients and refused to get off. Afterwards, the flight crew called security officers who forcibly dragged the man out of the plane. In a video posted by one of the passengers, the man is seen being dragged from his seat by security officers and then dragged on his back through the aisle off the plane with blood visible on his face. The man is screaming. While other passengers pleaded with the officers to stop, another video clip shows the victim returning the airplane later chanting, "Just kill me, just kill me, and I need to go home."
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and we looked a little bit into the video and the information about why is the man acting a little... One, he's using the word, "just kill me, just kill me." That is why we go deep into the investigation and found out that he has been suffered with some mental illness. And that might be one of the reasons. We can't point out fingers right now, but that might be the reason why he's acting very... a little bit strange, as we've seen in the video. And also, he has first originally agreed to get off the plane, but he was informed that another plane will not get him to his destination before 2:30 the next day, and he decided not to go and got more and more firm about not getting off the plane.
Yeah, listen, I get this. I've flown United, and I've been bumped. Like, this is definitely something that's very frustrating and easy to get worked up about. But as New Hong Lin had said, this guy has a history of mental problems. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's easy to look at a situation when it's just a video, just that frame of what happened, and be like, "Oh my God, how could you?" But, you know, let's talk a little bit about what the New York Times had posted about this story running up into how this happened. So the United employee, after randomly selecting people to get off the flight, the United employee walked up to the man and told him that if he did not get off the plane, she would call security. As she turned to leave, the man shouted after her. People that were there, Mr. Bridges, I guess, one of the guys that was there, said it was really intense and really uncomfortable. Now, for those of you that don't know, after 9/11, the U.S., any airport, just the whole scene of traveling by air completely changed, I think, in the U.S. It was a more scary thing. I mean, it was one of the most devastating attacks on American soil. The Pentagon was hit, the two towers, tons of people died. So suddenly planes became something that, you know, you're looking around and you're trying to... If something like this happens, it's easy to get really uncomfortable. It's easy to remember what happened in the past. So security in airports around the U.S. and especially on planes, it's very, the best way I would describe it is hardcore, I think, you know. I remember a time when my dad used to be able to walk me up to the bridge of the gate where I could, you know, sit in the seats right before I got onto my flight. That's completely a thing of the past. Anyways, so this guy had been, you know, also when he was removed from the flight, he He came back, and it shows him jogging through the aisle, repeatedly saying, "I have to go home. I have to go home." Now, I can understand, like I said, that this shouldn't have happened. It's very unfortunate. I think United could have handled this better, but I would also say that this guy could have handled this better.
That's interesting, because I think when you look at the video, and also this is one of the downsides of all this so-called visual evidence that's online these days, that's you are capturing one moment and you don't know what happens after and before. So with this video, the images are really very compelling and disturbing for people, and I understand a lot of people feel very uncomfortable and feel negatively about how the airline has handled the situation. And with this airline, I think it's interesting why it has resolved to sort of violence in removing a passenger. And what Ryan said earlier on, I think it's kind of important to point out that there is a cultural
difference,
and also there is that atmosphere that is different, that I think we can sort of understand that this is a security concern.
Mm-hmm.
But also for anybody who's bought a flight ticket, there's questions in your head when you see this kind of situation. Where is the notion of the consumer being God? I paid my price for the ticket. Shouldn't this be a consumer rights issue and not so much of a security issue? But it's great that we've brought up this. There is the security side of things that maybe we have overlooked before.
Yeah, let's talk about what USA Today posted about kind of exactly what you're addressing here. So as for passengers, they have surprisingly few rights when flights are overbooked. Federal regulations do not prevent carriers from selling more seats than the flight can accommodate, a practice the airline industry says allows carriers to fill planes despite the number of no-shows that they can expect on any given flight. Typically, airlines will ask for volunteers on oversold flights, promising some sort of compensation in return for taking a different flight. If few volunteers, carriers typically will keep increasing the offer until the flyers agree to take another flight. If not enough volunteers are found, the airline has the power to decide who gets bumped off the flight. That typically happens before boarding. Carriers spell out that this is a contract of carriage. So anytime you buy a ticket from these airlines, guys, you're signing a contract saying that you are okay with them being allowed to bump you, as I understand. The Department of Transportation does have clear guidance about compensation due to flyers, I guess. You know, the cap of compensation gets to like 400% of what they're entitled to. Anyways, in the event that there are not enough volunteers, as was the case on Sunday's flight, what will happen often is United's contract says preference will be given to qualified individuals. These are people with disabilities, unaccompanied minors under the age of 18, and minors between the age of 5 and 15. Beyond that, United does not spell out a hard and fast rule. Instead, the airline says only that the priority of all the confirmed passengers may be determined based on the passenger's fare class, itinerary, status of frequent flyer program membership, and at the time in which the passengers became present for their check-in.
Yes, and I wanted to provide some of the Chinese perspective or situation here. That is, if you buy a ticket in China, same situations might happen to you, but that will be based on a first-come, first-serve kind of principle. That is, if you get on board of the plane, you're guaranteed the fly. But if you're late, they may tell you on the boarding pass saying that in the boarding place, they will tell you that you cannot get on board because there's not enough seats up there, and you will be offer like 200 yuan cash to every passenger who voluntarily gives up the seat, or like you, if you you have no choice but to give up the seats, and then the passenger will get all kinds of compensation, like you can change to another different plane, and you can also stay in a room with a restroom in it. So basically, this kind of situation will also happen in China. The difference here is that you will not get on the plane.
Yeah, so, looking at this issue, it's unpleasant, and people saw the video and they assume so many things, and it's easy to fall into that hole of assuming. But the thing is, you got to find out more about what happened. You really got to understand what happened. People just saw maybe a guy getting dragged. They saw a bloody face, and I can understand that. But at the same time, he wasn't the only person that was bumped off the flight. There were three others who had left before him, as I understand. A couple was one of them. They were the first in their mid-20s that were bumped off the flight. So this, I guess, protocol says that these people were randomly selected, okay? We don't know any better. Whether or not it was random selection or what happened. It was most likely probably random selection, and this was just his case. But regardless, people saw this kind of struggle. But at the same time, I would say, I think what ensued wasn't necessarily the security officers, but maybe him also fighting back and this kind of tussle that ensued. I describe it like this. If I get pulled over by a police officer in the United States and he says, "Sir, can you get out of the car?" I say, "No." He's not just going to sit there and wait me out. At some point, yes, these authorities will use some kind of force to try to get you out of the car. This is, I guess, just how certain things work. There is an investigation going on to making sure that these security officers were within their limits of authority and how they handled this situation. But at the same time, I think people just automatically assume, oh, these security guards, they're awful, blah, 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 and maybe they are. But at the same time, too, what do you do if someone refuses authority? They say, I'm not getting off this plane for whatever reason. Maybe it's something else. What can you do? What would be the solution that's better than this?
That's interesting, because I think, again, this we need to revisit that notion. When you are on a plane, what about my consumer rights? And also, is this one of the situations that I need to give up my rights, that you need to be as you need to do as told? And as an average Chinese passenger myself, I don't really know until something like this that's caught media attention, mm-hmm. until it's got my attention and I realize, wow, this can go really, really bad. And apparently I'm not always God after buying the ticket. But there is still some questions there. And I'd like to answer or echo yeah. what Ryan said about law enforcement, the style of law enforcement maybe in the U.S. As I remember, friends going to study in the U.S. in college, lots of college kids in the U.S. drive. And excuse me, I'm feeling more than I thought I felt about this. One of the first tips that you're given by maybe the university or people that care about you, maybe a senior, would be you do as you are told in the streets of the U.S. When the police tells you to pull over, tells you to stop, to move your hands from your pockets slowly and show your hands, you just do it and you don't argue. I think that there is a different atmosphere or maybe style of law enforcement according to different country settings as what we're used to here in China. But in the U.S., also don't forget that people have the right to bear firearms.
Yes.
So I think there's a lot of difference in how things are being managed. And sometimes you need to know these things. And to come back to this news story, I think we all agree that things don't need to get bloody. Things don't need to get this bad.
But that could be a two-sided thing. He could have just got off the plane. He didn't have to initially make this. Hindsight's 20/20. Everybody likes to comment how it should have happened mm-hmm. after the fact. You weren't there. You know, when someone shouts at a flight attendant on a flight, everybody gets uncomfortable. We don't know how it's going to turn out until we get the news report about it later. Maybe, you know, they're only allowed to offer a certain level of compensation before they have to call, you know, the president of the company and say, hey, can we give this guy a $3,000 gift card? For sure, that would have solved this huge PR stunt, but probably nobody thought it would be a PR stunt as it was happening. This guy could have also handled it better. He didn't have to shout at the flight attendant. You know, I think if this were personally me, I would have been like, fine, fine, gotten off the plane and maybe gotten a lawyer involved or taken this to some kind of court afterwards.
Yeah, that's going to cost you extra.
It could have, but maybe you can change these kind of regulations that allow companies like United to oversell and bump you, because the regulations are really what's allowing United to carry out business in this way, as I understand it.
Yes, and I think we're thinking about this issue from different perspective. Like, if we're putting us in the passenger's shoes, we can say that we don't like the situation, but if it were me, I will get off the plane because it's the right thing to do. And maybe someone has putting themselves into the for law enforcement situation, saying that at some point, I have to do something to try to make sure that this whole flight of passengers can fly, and that is my job. I'm doing it. But here, I think we are fiercely discussing the situation because we're trying to see if we see the regulation, but are the regulations really right? Are the regulations fair? Should we discuss the regulation? Maybe in the future, because in this world, there are so many clauses, so many agreements we sign without actually reading it, like the iPod or Apple iPhone agreement. You don't really see any clause, but the situation got our attention, so maybe we should discuss the regulation and make it better.
Well, that's interesting. And also, is it like when the fine print is too fine for an average consumer to see, then does it not hold that much authority anymore? I mean, that is something people are discussing right now, as it seems that it's only nerds that love to read documents or lawyers know these detailed clauses with this. And as in most passengers don't know that much. But that's one thing. Also, when you talk about the regulations, I think in the legal code or in regulations or in consumer user constructions, whatever you call it, there are loads of words. And in reality, there's so much that happen in between those words. When it comes to dealing with your customers, I mean, yes, you can be operating within the finite area within the instruction, but there are ways to do it friendly to the consumer, which is good for your image. How to implement the regulation is up to the company or whatever individual case that we are discussing. So as unfortunate as this has happened, I can understand maybe both parties have done something that's not ideal. But I'd also like to see, with a huge company like United Airlines, couldn't they have done better with dealing with their customers?
I mean, absolutely. But I mean, this is something that's, like I said, hindsight's 20/20. Of course, nobody probably knew that this was going to turn into the stunt it did. And we all have constructive criticism for our own things. We all have regrets in life that I think we wish we could go back and change. That's life. I think, yes, if you want to change this now, change the regulations that allow these airlines to be this way, to allow them to bump people, to make sure that when your bum is in that seat, that's your seat, and this kind of thing. But, you know, there's a time and a place to voice your arguments, okay? Especially when something like this happens. And because of the culture, I think, of the United States post 9/11, in airports, you just do your thing and you listen to what and these weren't just security officers, as I understand. There was the police officers that were involved. So when this kind of situation escalates this far, and it's on a plane that in a country that has a history where planes have devastated so many monumental parts of the country, you should understand Maybe you should get off the plane. You should voice your concern through other ways. You don't have to yell at the person, the flight attendant, doing her job.
I think that's also an interesting cultural difference, as I think yelling at the flight attendant or whoever is the service person. I mean, admittedly, everybody involved in this story are not Chinese. And I think it's got a lot of Chinese people's attention in our country as well. I think it's very easy to relate to this situation. And when in our country, when you want to voice dissatisfaction with a service, often it is the person who's got the higher voice gets his or her way. But I think in other places, such as a flight and in any flight, I think we should remember that in that circumstance, it's best not to act in that way.
Yeah, I think things are not always black and white. People want to find an enemy or someone to point at right away and say, yeah! But I would challenge you to try to always look at both sides.
Yes, that's very important. That's also one of the primary reasons why Roundtable exists. And in hindsight, like what Ryan, you've said, I think it's easier and we're more comfortable to talk about how can we make things better if next time something like this happens. And I think we still need to realize that the airline did a terrible job in management. And this
definitely in PR and what happened afterwards, I totally agree.
And well, we agree on one thing, that is good. I'll take what I can get. And also for this flight, apparently they were bumping these passengers off so their own crew could get on the flight, four people. So it's not necessarily an overbooking situation. It could also be very bad management of personnel. And it doesn't really put your passengers in a very positive seat.
Yeah.
We welcome you to comment on this story, and hopefully our comments have maybe enlightened you a little bit or spurred a little bit of thought. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Young, Ryan Price, and Yohong Lin.